This is Talking Business.
So joining me now is Paul Hallam, the CEO of Six Degrees Executive, and also Radhik Sully, who's the chairman of Light Warrior. Used to be the CEO of Swiss Vitamins.
That's right.
Which was sold a couple of years ago to Hong Kong. So we're here mainly to talk about this tremendous report that Paul's had done on leadership in Australia. And we'll get on to that in a moment. But I'm just wondering, Radhik, why are you here?
Why am I here? I'm here to share our thoughts on leadership and also support Paul.
Yeah. So were you involved in Paul's business in some way?
No. I was part of one of the respondents and one of the CEOs that were involved in the survey. So
very good. Just briefly, just before we get on to the report, Radhik, you've had a couple of years now in VC land. Mm. Having sold Swiss, you famously made $250 million, mm-hmm. I think, or possibly more.
Good memory there.
But I went to your website. You've got this thing called Light Warrior, and I went to the website. Here, I'm at it now, and all it's got is in the middle of it is a password requirement. And it doesn't even say forgot password.
That's right. So
what's the deal?
Well, essentially, the website actually goes live in the next 3 months, but we've had so much deal flow. We've had over 200 businesses approach us, and we've invested in 7. So we've had an overwhelming amount of demand, and we haven't really had a need to go out there and tell people what we're about as yet. So, business is good, and there's plenty of opportunity out there to invest.
Yeah, right. Okay. So, and you are looking for deals, essentially, but you're not looking that hard, clearly. They're coming to you.
Yeah, the right types of deals where we believe we can help. So we really look for businesses where there's a growth profile and a bit of profit, something that we've had experience in doing. Leading our investment firm, our CEO is Adam Gregory, and he was at Goldman's for 12 years, and he actually sold our business at Swiss. And we've got a number of other team members that support him. They've all got great experience in that kind of sweet spot.
So, Paul, the Future of Leadership in Australia report. Firstly, just tell us a bit about your business, Six Degrees Executive.
So Six Degrees are an executive recruitment company. We have offices in all major states in Australia and predominantly within the retail, consumer and sport media and entertainment sectors.
Right, okay. You've done this report based on a survey. Just to cut to the headline, you've called it the crisis in corporate Australia and what to do about it. So there you go. That kind of frames the discussion in a way.
Absolutely.
You're saying that there's a crisis.
Well, it came about because we speak to hundreds of candidates every week, and people think that candidates are leaving organisations because of money or those type of reasons. And what we were finding is that people were really disillusioned with their current leaders, and hence we needed to investigate this further. So we decided to commission the report, interviewed many of Australia's leading CEOs, commissioned 1,300 qualitative interviews, and the report was pretty damning and sort of supported what we thought is that people are uninspired with their present
leaders. Just go into the report a bit, just 1,300. So there was qualitative and quantitative parts to it. Just describe how the survey was done.
So we sat down and did face-to-face interviews with 40 leading Australian CEOs, the likes of Gillon McLachlan from the AFL, Radhik Sully, the head of Google, spoke to them about leadership and
What sort of things did you ask them?
What they thought was good leadership, what is the future of leadership looks like, because what is a leader today and a leader in 5 years' time is quite different. We asked them to rate their current leaders and how they went about
it. But those people were all leaders already. So were you asking them to rate themselves?
No, the leaders within their organisations and also how they go about looking to hire the best leaders and also develop the leadership qualities presently within their organisation.
Right. And so was the consensus among those 40 or so people that you interviewed that there is a crisis?
I think the CEOs were a little bit more positive.
Why doesn't that surprise me?
Correct, exactly. I think they realised that people have to change and people aren't changing. They were more negative about the future and people's ability to change, whereas the 1,300 middle to senior management that we interviewed were a lot more pessimistic.
Right. So we'll get to that in a moment. Radek, when they came and talked to you, what did you say?
Well, I think what's come up in the report was a lot of what I felt was intuitively going on. You know, 90% of team members out there that are working in workplaces, employees, are dissatisfied with their leadership. And I think that a lot of the societal issues we're seeing at the moment is because people are dissatisfied with the biggest or most important relationship they have in life. And no, that's not the one they're married to. That's where they spend the most time in, and that's the workplace. And as a result of that, we've got a bit of social dissatisfaction going on, and we're seeing that reflected in politics and change going on right across the globe. So for me, it wasn't really surprising to end up where we're at in terms of the results. But in terms of our organisation, I felt like that we really had a focus on people. And, you know, for the last 2 years, we were best employer, and we that was really reflective in the standards we demanded from our leadership.
It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, that clearly paid off for you guys, you know, not just in the exit, but just in general, the success of the business. Why do you think, as you look around you, other people, other companies don't do the same sort of thing?
It's amazing. That's why we love being an example, and we love being pretty outward in the fact that, yeah, culture was our big disruptor. It was our point of difference and what enabled us to create the result that we eventually got, which is one of the largest private corporate transactions to ever happen here in Australia. So, and our biggest differentiator was our focus on people.
So, Paul, 53% of the 1,300 people you interviewed were Generation X, 21% Generation Y. I can never remember which what ages we're talking about. But let's say that 74% of them, roughly three quarters of the people, the 1,300, were not baby boomers.
Correct.
Are they the ones who are the most dissatisfied?
The Generation Y millennials are the ones that are most dissatisfied. And I think, Radek did an event for us last week, and I think the famous quote was, beware of the baby boomer male, because they are often the key demographic in corporate Australia right now. And the millennials are not connecting with the baby boomers. And really what the report said is that qualities like hard work and track record, people thought were important, but are not important to these people. And the millennials and baby boomers, the millennials and Gen Xers are looking for flexibility, diversity, but a leader that can really clearly communicate a vision and leaders that are authentic with strong emotional intelligence.
So to what extent is the problem, the crisis that you describe, simply the fact that baby boomer leaders haven't caught up yet?
Correct. Yes, they are not listening to the people that they're leading.
But it's hard for them, speaking as a baby boomer, isn't it? It's hard.
It's hard for all of us, really. And that's why we've got to set up environments where change is encouraged and it's talked about as a positive thing rather than as something that's a difficult thing to deal with. And, you know, I go to the gym and I've got a personal trainer who encourages me to get through my workout. And it was bloody hard the first time I went to that workout, but it's got easier and easier. And I like the fact that I'm encouraged to do that. Our workplaces aren't like that. We get to work, we don't get encouraged to, hey, change is a good thing, we need to go and do this for this outcome and we're going to be better for it as a result. And once we're trained to do that, we get better and better at that. But unless we've got open cultures and environments where people are actively talking about how they're going to become better leaders, better managers and better what they do, we're never going to get over this crisis.
The other breakdown of the quantitative survey is that the 68% were male, 32% female. Are the females more dissatisfied than the males?
I think the females are more dissatisfied, and that is because a lot of organisations, especially the small to medium organisations, aren't showing flexibility in the way they work. I think the banks and the large telcos have got really good policies in place to be supporting women, but at the smaller organisations, we still see are quite archaic in their views as far as women returning to work and the flexibility that is required for mothers and fathers.
So what are some of the other findings that you'd like to highlight, Paul?
I think the key things are is that, as we said, there is a really big gap and disconnect between what people think is required and what is required. And as we said, what was strong work ethic and a very clear track record of success was seen as important. Now it's a given. That the key messages and what people need to think about from a leadership now is it's about authentic leadership. It is about being able to communicate clearly. And I think people talk about talking, but it's about listening and also having really strong emotional intelligence, understanding themselves and also their people.
Well, one of your findings was only 8% strongly agree that there's a strong pipeline of leaders in the Australian workplace. Now, I know that your business, a big part of your business is helping companies develop a pipeline.
Yep.
So what's your experience when you go into companies? What's the sort of sense that backs up that percentage of 8%?
Well, not many organisations are proactive in looking at pipelines. They're generally reactive. When a leader leaves, they'll replace them. The great organisations we see are developing strong pipelines and making sure that they...
But how do you go about developing it? What do we mean by developing a pipeline? What's involved?
The organisations that we develop pipelines for, we sit down and understand their business needs and their long-term desires as far as talent is concerned over a sort of 2 to 5 year period, and making sure that we are interviewing and engaging talent that may not be ready to work with that organisation now, but that they are aware of who is out there, that when opportunities arise or people leave, that they have the great people in reserve rather than just who is there here and now when something pops up.
And Radek, how important is leadership in determining whether you invest in a business? And is that a factor in the fact that you've only invested in 7 out of 200?
I think it's an essential step in our due diligence. We invest in businesses because of the people. And we want them to be people that we enjoy being around and that we feel like they're going to go on a growth and development journey as much as we do. So for us, that's the number one priority is that interface. My most precious asset these days is time, and I want to spend time with people that excite me.
And so, Paul, what do you think the solution is to the crisis that you've identified?
I think the solution is at an individual level, people have to continue to grow and develop themselves. As Radek said, feedback is a gift, and I think historically people take it as an insult, people need to change the way they view feedback.
Take what as an insult? Feedback. Oh.
Feedback is an insult.
Oh, that was interesting, because one of the things you found was that the millennials in particular don't like the traditional performance reviews.
Correct, and the performance reviews often are quite negative. And so reverse mentoring, 360-degree feedback, those types of...
Well, that's because the bosses are worried that all they're going to do is turn into a pay rise.
And with millennials, that is often the case. A pay rise and a promotion, Alan.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, yeah. That's right. So what are we talking about from that?
And so it does require someone with strong emotional intelligence to understand working with the audience or the generations that they're working with.
So what's the alternative to the performance review?
360-degree feedback, ongoing mentoring and coaching. Historically, performance reviews are done either half-yearly or yearly. There is a standard set of questions, and it's a pretty dry conversation looking at the past rather than we're seeing big trends. PwC has thrown out performance reviews and turned them much more into coaching conversations that are about the future and about development rather than about looking in the past of what's historically gone wrong.
Interesting discussion, guys. Thank you.
No problem.
I'll be talking to Paul Hallam, who's the CEO of 6degrees Executive, and also Radek Sally, the chairman of Light Warrior and former CEO of Swiss Vitamins.